Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action. Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Welcome to Democracy in Action today. My name is Lucy Kiden. Now, today we'll be looking at women in peace building and how they can contribute to peace building in the democratic setting, like we look forward to South Sudan eventually getting to that state. On today's edition, we'll be highlighting some of the work of women as well in peace building. And so thank you for tuning in. Now, we have guests in the studio, and I would like to introduce them. We have Nancy Achayo Sirino. You're very welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Lucy.
And then we also have Adeng Lake, who is here with us as well.
Thank you, Lucy, for having us.
Now, first off, I would like to ask you both to briefly talk about your work in terms of peace building.
Thank you so much. As Lucy mentioned earlier, my name is Achayo Nancy Sirino. I work for ALBA Foundation for Women and Girls, and at the same time, I sit at the Algemic as the youth representative. And under ALBA Foundation, we are working on giving transitional justice awareness raising to the different stakeholders, the youth, the women, the persons with disability, and also peace, the people in church, and all the faith-based, and also doing mentorship to the different young girls in schools. That's a brief on what we are doing at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much. What about you, Adeng? What are you currently doing in terms of peace-building work?
Yes, I work with an organization called Nonviolent Peace Force in the Department of Civic Engagement as a program manager. In Nonviolent Peace Force, we use the strategies of unarmed civilian protection, which is advocacy, dialogue, accompaniment, and protection of civilians. Mm-hmm. So we work on protecting civilians in violent conflicts through unarmed strategies, and we build peace side by side with local communities. Basically, we work in local communities in the states.
Yes.
And we advocate also for the wider adoption of these approaches to safeguard also human lives and dignity. We have a lot of work that we do, but I believe that's just a brief example of what we do.
All right. Mm. Thank you very much for introducing yourselves. Now, as we look at the importance of women's work in peace building, first off, let me ask, what are some of the main challenges you're facing at this time? And what are some of those different coping mechanisms and strategies you've developed over time as you work in this field?
Okay.
maybe we can start with Nancy.
All right. Thank you so much, Lucy, because we are now two. I didn't know who is going to respond.
You're actually both going to answer this
yes.
question.
All right. Thank you so much. The challenges are many. You know, when conflict erupts, there's a lot of gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it has led to widespread incidents of rape and sexual assault to women and girls.
Yeah.
And this really traumatizes the women. It's like for a lifetime, you know, even though they are, you know, they get mental health and psychosocial support, but then this thing is now it's on them. Yeah. And then the displacement, many women and girls are displaced, living in camps with limited access to healthcare, education and protection. And as we can attest to this, when during the 2016 war, the 2013 war, a lot of people have been displaced. And as we can see from the Sudan conflict as well, a lot of them have come to Juba, and you know, a lot has happened. Then limited access to healthcare and education. Maternal mortality is high, and education opportunities for girls are minimal in many areas. And so this is just a brief on what, you know, the conflict has led to in South Sudan.
And so when you talk about with what you've mentioned, it just shows that the environment seems to be not conducive for women to actively participate in peace building. And then before I go to Adeng, what are those things that have managed to keep you going?
Faith, hope. You know, if you have hope, you know, hoping for the best in your country. Mm-hmm. What else can you think of? Even though you're seeing that something is not moving on well, but then there is that hope that you have for the country. There is going to be a better South Sudan, you know? For ages, we have been out of this country. We grew up out of the country. But what is it? It was that hope that has brought us back to the country. It has made us who we are. And if at all, the hope that we still have, you know, we are now giving birth to children. We want them to have a peaceful South Sudan. So the best we can do is to advocate for a peaceful coexistence in the country.
Okay.
So that our children can live in a peaceful environment.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. What about you, Adeng?
Yeah, you ask about women in South Sudan, what issues they face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can say there's a lot of issues that has happened during the conflicts, and we can say there's different conflicts in South Sudan, not only the one that happens in Juba. Let's not forget also at the grassroots, we have a lot of community issues.
Yeah,
I can say those conflict, especially armed conflict, leads to many issues like displacement. And we have recently faced a lot of issues to do with displacement of some of the women in host community where the Sudanese also have joined, and also the South Sudanese that have come. The South Sudanese who have come from Sudan due to war. So I can say displacement, and also we have the economic collapse in the country. The inflation has affected women, they are not able to provide for their own kids and for their own family. And as Nancy said, there is sexual gender-based violence is as many as we can see, even though sometimes it's denied, but it is happening in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So when conflict as well happens or erupts, women often, you know, lose access to food, healthcare, education, and safety. So they always find a way of how they can find a different way of cooperation mechanism, which is to sit together and see a way forward. I can say I knew Nancy from different platforms, even Facebook and different platform of women leaders and different platform of women activists.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been able to do a lot of activities to support each other's women, to work with parliamentarians, to work with women at the grassroots in order to build peace. So as you face conflict, you also try to build peace, not for the sake of leadership positions, but for the sake of having a peaceful coexistence and support for our kids to grow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And before we move on to the next question, there is usually this huge challenge that is not only highlighted by women, but men like to throw it in our faces. And this specific one where there's this assumption and a reality as well, that women do not like to see other women succeed. A lot of backstabbing, a lot of fighting in the background, a lot of mistrust among women. And so in peace building, have you encountered this, and how have you managed to just go over it in ways? When you talk about how you met and you've worked together for a long time, have you seen it if you've not encountered it yourself? And how is that affecting the progress of women's work in the country like South Sudan? Adeng.
Yeah,
I can say there's a lot of issues and also backstabbing. As they say, so many people carry knives at their back and ready to backstab each other. Mm-hmm. But I can say it's not only women, but I can say women who do backstab other women is an ignorant and insecure woman. Mm-hmm. I believe everyone has their own ideas and also have their own strengths and weaknesses. And it's better to support each other. But I have seen a lot of issues that comes with women trying to copy each other.
Copy each other.
Mm-hmm. And I can say it's not like backstabbing each other, but they believe that they can do the same as you, mm-hmm. or they can do even better than you. It's okay.
Yeah.
As long as we come to the same vision of bringing peace into South Sudan. We have faced a lot of issues where we try to do a lot of work at the grassroots and try to bring it at the national level at the leadership people at the leadership position. There are women who will agree to support you at that top positions to try and maybe implement policies or bring laws. But there are people who believe that they are maybe affiliated to their own parties more than the issues that is happening in South Sudan. But we believe that there are women in those leadership positions that will welcome you. So we go for those who will welcome and also have the same vision as you, and we work together.
Okay.
Backstabbing is there. It's a personality. And if you can change it, it's okay. If you cannot change it, you'll find your own thing.
You work around it.
You work around it.
Yes. Just to add on that, you know, there's a lot, people are different. So one thing that I know about this is, you know, it's better to move with the ones that you think are moving with you. So if one is stabbing you at the back, then the person cannot, you know, face you. It's okay, just let them stay at the back there. Continue with the ones that that are moving with you, mm-hmm. that can approach you at the front and maybe ask you for, you know, if at all there's an issue or there is some guidance that the person needs. It is better. That's how women can build each other up. But then if at all you keep on trying to pull the woman down from the back and all that, then it will not work, because there are other women who, you know, even though they're those women, but then there are other women out there who are ready to support other women. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. also lifting up the other women up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy and Deng, all that. And now, a recent study found that women occupy multiple roles during times of conflict as peace builders, providers, and decision makers. How do women drive a building of South Sudan? And with multiple roles, here you have women who are wives, they are mothers, and at the same time they are doing so many things in the community. As we all know, women have been named as multitaskers. Mm-hmm. And so with this multifaceted approach women have, how can they do more currently? Adeng.
Yeah, with the current situation, I can say that the best thing we can do as women, we gather and also think of our own strength. We come from different backgrounds. You are in the radio, Nancy, into different work to do with peace building and faith and so on. And also me, I have maybe my experience in mediation as well as advocacy and so on. I believe with this issue, the issues in South Sudan, we first have to study and also to do context analysis to understand what is literally happening in the country, instead of just writing a proposal and then we just approach the community and we don't know how to approach them. So it's very important for women to come together at this point to do with the context analysis and see what programs that can fit different places. And also ensure that when you are approaching some of the states, you are responding to their current crisis. So it's very important as well to do further dialogues with communities, not only woman to woman, but also we have to talk with our chiefs and find a way of approaching them and to support the communities. Not to forget also dialogue with the leaders and also seeking their support, the women leaders as well as men allies or champions who will be able to support our work. So there is a different kind of work that we can do. We come together and we try and map out where we can help and how to support and so on. Yeah.
All right. Mm. And Nancy, what can you add to that?
Yes, thank you so much, Lucy. One thing I can add is, you know, women have different networks. And, living alone, our tribes and all that, but our tribe is woman. Because as women, we come in as a force, and it's because as me from Eastern but married to Western, so anything that that tackles Western, I am also included in it. And in there are also in-laws who are also from the Central. You know, women bring different people together. So women act as a force of peace. Because if at all something is going to happen in another location, you find you are also attached to that location. So this is where we come together. And leave alone that, women also have these, you know, information sharing, gatherings and all that. Let's take it back to the local. Yeah? There is what they call rabita. So, you know, you find that these warmongers or whatever, or the men, they are husbands to women, right? So there is where the information sharing happens. So what if this the husbands of these women, or the, okay, the women, the wives of these men are also part of these rabbitas. So this is where the information sharing comes in. So women come together, they get to know something is happening somewhere, please alert. Yeah? So women act as that form. And that can lead us to a peaceful coexistence. Because, you know, you get a first hand information.
And you get to respond.
And you get to respond to it. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is something that women do. And, you know, women always, they tend to focus on the needs and well-being of their communities.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. But you know that there is another woman out there that needs also support. Mm-hmm. So this is where we come in as women. And this is one thing I love being a woman.
Yes. And that's really something beautiful. When women do come together, they are a force. And that's where the division, we should not entertain any kind of division at all when it comes to women working together. Now, women are represented at the stakeholders, as stakeholders in the R-Axis. That is the revitalized peace agreement, and it sits on its monitoring body, the RJMIC. What are some of the opportunities and challenges presented by these roles, Nancy?
All right, thank you so much, Lucy. In the RJMIC on the R axis, the number of women who are seated there, and you know, we have the Women Coalition for Peace representative. We have Women Bloc. We have a representative from of the youth. We have also women in the business who are, you know, this is just part of the stakeholders, the other stakeholders and the politicals. And one thing that they do is giving up visibility of women's leadership. Their presence challenges gender norms and inspire other women out there, you know. And another thing is being in the plenary or talking to the different stakeholders, they bring in the different challenges that women are facing and advocating for gender-sensitive reforms in the law, security, and governance. And one thing that they always bring in is the, you know, the women enterprise, the women, the different bills that are pending, urging the government to make sure it is put on, you know, like if at all it's delaying, why is it delaying? And also on the transitional justice, why was it delaying? But and through that, they push the advocacy in the meetings. At least we have seen that the two mechanisms have been put in place. And women in the R-Axis also comes in to write a petition, to write a communique, you know, through the RJMIC office. And this is really something that is, you know, leading to changes in the community. Yes.
Well, thank you, Nancy, for stating that. And what about the challenges that present themselves in these roles? Are there any challenges, and what are they?
There are lots of challenges in the country, mm-hmm. definitely.
No, specifically
in this one, yes. The, you know, the limited structures to help women effectively engage, such as the training, mentorship, and on logistics. And, you know, like in the Tumaini, because part of the like part of the stakeholders also took part in the Tumaini.
Okay.
And there was this limited access to for them to access the place.
The talks.
Mm-hmm. The talks. And, you know, other people are being funded and all that, but then, you know, there is that limit in the fundings or also on the numbers and all that. But still, even though there's lack, but then there are women out there who are also giving, you know, like having another space where they can be giving support, mm-hmm. a technical team to give support into the to the Tumaini group that are there. And the patriarchal resistance definitely, and the cultural norms and the male dominated spaces still hinder women's full participation. But still, women need to be, you know, you have to tie up your belt and, you know, work it out.
Could you maybe break it down on how exactly, what are those instances that happen and how do they affect the women when it comes to patriarchy and cultural norms?
Let's say you want to try, you know, like there are some bills that have been put on hold for a long time. Like we have the anti-GBV bill. We have requested for it to be pushed. But then who are the people who are signing those to making sure that it has put to pass or put into law? These are the male-dominated people, you know, the leaders. But then, you know, knowing that it's going to put them accountable, it's kind of like pulling them behind and it's making this process not really work out. And the family law bill as well. So this is some of the things that is really, really lagging us behind on the context of the women. Yeah.
And so, Adeng, given these challenges, what more can the women do, add on to whatever they're already doing? Because when challenges present themselves, then that means you have to increase on the efforts. Mm. And so what more can the women do to really ensure that the bills like the ones Nancy has mentioned eventually actually do get passed, and if possible, as soon as available? And when it comes to some of the challenges in logistics and for the access to maybe talks that are outside the country, what are those things women can do to overcome them?
Let me just add a bit of what Nancy said. Being in those places, I am even I am jealous that Nancy is an archaic.
But one thing is a good kind of jealousy.
It's a good jealousy.
But one thing I can say, yeah, is a good jealousy, because when Nancy is there, I know I'm represented. And I can reach out to Nancy and tell her, please, there is this kind of policies. And there's this kind of policies that we want to push. And since Nancy is in that position, she will be able to talk to the Arjamek group or the boards and say that, okay, there is these issues that we need to bring at the forefront, and there's these policies that we need to push. Nancy being at this, not Nancy alone, but women being at this position and in Arjamek, even in the Tumaini, can help us speak on behalf of women at the grassroots and the national level. Mm. So it's very important that being in this position, I remember when the RRCs was ongoing, by the way, mm-hmm. something powerful was happening at that RRCs. Women unite. Youth United. Mm-hmm. By then, I used to work for the African Union Commission in Addis. I facilitated interaction between the women youth with the African Union Commission, some of the high offices, in order to fight for the 35% to mm-hmm. come to force.
Yes.
And it has come to force, by the way, because of the work of the Women Coalition and the other representatives that are there.
And the fight continues.
So it's very important for women to place themselves in a very strategic position. And by saying very strategic position, we need to build our skills and our career to be in those positions. Like, we need women in Geneva, we need women in Brussels, we need women at the grassroots who is strong, will bring us the messages of what they are facing. So when we get those things, we compile it and we do proper advocacy.
Okay.
At the grassroots, at the national level, internationally, and we ensure those policies are pushed and we have those frameworks that can help us to hold people accountable. So we get the information from the grassroots and the national level, international level, at the diaspora as well. Let's all talk about it equally. We make sure that we address those issues correctly, and we we held people accountable. So okay. Women being in those positions are very good.
All right. So the women being in those positions is very good, like you've both stated. And there is always this, I don't want to call it a complaint, but maybe a concern, that a lot of these talks happen in Juba. During workshops, during maybe trainings or consultations, they are limited to Juba. And even if they go to the states, they are limited to the municipal towns. They don't go down to the grassroots where we have the actual women who are suffering. You know, they're not getting access to justice. They're not getting access to their own human rights at the same time. But also, they don't even know about the peace process. And so now, what action can the women leaders in this country do to contribute to peace in the communities, all through to the last person in the village? How can that be done? Of course, given the challenges that present themselves.
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. You know, one thing I know is the women leaders alone can't reach out there. But then we have different women-led organizations or women's rights organizations and other organizations, national and international. And we have different that are going to the grassroots. If at all it's in Unity State, it's not going only to Bentiu. But they go up to Panija, down there, yeah? In Daniel, Nyal, to also give the information to the different organizations. Formerly also non-peace violence was in Panija, in Daniel. Non-violence peace force, yes.
Yes.
Yes, they worked there, and also Assistance Mission for Africa, you know, Hope Restoration, that number of organizations that are reaching out to the grassroots. Yeah, though it is not shown at the national level that, you know, but we have organizations that are reaching up to the grassroots, giving out the information on the peace processes and also collecting the challenges and then reporting. You know, there is this, there is where the national NGOs and the internationals come together and then they give briefs of what is happening
on the ground.
On the ground, mm-hmm. Yes. So this is where they pile up and have a one report. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is something that I know.
And so now when these reports come, usually they need to be responded to or acted upon. Mm-hmm. What is the best way forward in regards to involving women in the response? Adeng.
Yeah. I can say that there are different ways of reaching to women. And by the way, South Sudan is very rich with different platforms. We have the women-led organizations. We have also some of the international organizations, as you mentioned. Nonviolent Peace Force is in most of the areas where it's not reachable, and they do work with the community. So I believe there are different ways. For example, when the reports come or when the reports are in the process of being drafted, there's a different way of reaching the information outside. I can say when we do context analysis, situation analysis, as well as the need assessment, it's very important to reach the communities. There are different ways to reach the communities. Like, for example, Radio Miraya is everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. In the States.
Yeah.
We use Radio Miraya, we use iRadio, we use Voice of Reconciliation and different local FM channels. And there are women-led organizations like SWEN, Civic Engagement Centers, as well as the Women Monthly Forum. They provide different campaigns, dialogue, and capacity building, as well as faith-based platforms where we can be able to help reaching the women. So when these reports reach, comes out, it's very important to go back to the community. We usually, to be honest, I used to do that. At the national level, we used to forget the grassroots women. Mm-hmm. And we forget our roots. Exactly. The thing is that we are all centered in Juba. It's like Juba is our own South Sudan. It's only South Sudan.
And it can get so busy.
It can get so busy, and
yeah.
We find ourselves busy speaking that English, and we forget we get that money, stipends, and all these things, and we forget about women at the grassroots. It's very good to work with women at the grassroots, and their voice makes very powerful position and statements and so on. So when we bring that report out, we make sure that we go back and implement those recommendation and everything with those women at the grassroots, women leaders, women from NGOs, women who are chiefs, and they are different, also the allies and the gender champions. So the reports comes out and we make sure we advocate for it at different level. If you take it to international level, by the way, and you forget to advocate for it in the grassroots level, you are not resolving an issue.
Yeah.
You are just adding more information to different platforms, and they use it to get more money at the national level, and we forget people at the grassroots. So okay. It is a work in progress. I can admit my mistakes, indeed. And we continue.
And learn from them.
Yeah, just to add on that, on one of the platforms that I think you mentioned on the different the radio stations. Mm. Yeah, and one thing I know is social media. Right now, yeah, though the internet is quite expensive, but then you find a lot of people are on social media.
Including the grassroots women.
Including the grassroots. Then you wonder, okay.
Which face?
At first, I didn't know that the face was Facebook.
Yes.
So you find the use of the social media, it's increasing to the urban areas and also to the the rural areas, and that brings us to knowing what to put on social media. Is it a peaceful message or it's a hate speech? So there is where I thank some organizations that are really trying their level best to aware the people on the hate speech, and trying to make sure that people don't write out something that is on hate speech and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good, the Defy Hate Now trying to do their best on that, and Coneta Hubs and all that, and then organizing educational forums on peace and reconciliation. So you find we have different groups. Formerly, when I was working under the Leaders of Peace Project, there are different. There's this peace committees in the peace and border committees, where you find that the different committees really come in to support. In case of any conflict with the neighbor, mm-hmm. they come in to make sure that this conflict is, put to end.
Mm.
If at all, in Nyal, the youth maybe went and stole cattle from Euro, that's a different location. And this is Nuera and Inca.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll make sure that those cattle that have been stolen is taken back. And it's in the peace committees, the youth, the women, the men, and the chiefs also take part. And this really brings in the different. And also churches and the faith-based, we can use that as also a tool, because you find the church really is a peaceful place. So if they're preaching peace, yeah, definitely people will go home with peaceful hearts and all that, they open up. And also in the mosque, I believe they also do preach.
Mm-hmm.
So as they preach even in other churches or the mosque, and I don't know where the others are called, but
you don't know what they are called.
Yes.
Yes.
So I believe that can be also a channel of peace, yeah?
Yeah.
And also, you personally, what is it that you want the other to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
If you want peace, let peace come out of you. Let peace flow out of you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're filled up with hatred, with revenge, with any kind of conflict, definitely that's what you're going to get
come to you.
For you.
Wow.
But then if you're spreading out hate and, if all you're spreading out peace, definitely you'll find yourself being peaceful with
and
everybody.
Forgiveness and
you
unity.
Forgive.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is something.
Thank you, Nancy, for stating that. Something powerful there. Give what you want to receive. And so you are welcome to actually ask a question as we are approaching the end of this conversation on women in peace building here on Democracy in Action. If you've just tuned in, my guests in the studio are Nancy Achayo-Sirino from ALBA Foundation for Women and Girls, as well as Adeng Malwal-Leek, who is a civil society activist and program manager at Non-Violent Peace Force. So send a text message on 0912-177-141 if you have a question. Do that right now. And so Let's look at one other thing. You've already talked about the major platforms women can use in terms of spreading peace messages. What about conduct? How best, Nancy, you talked about give what you want to give. In terms of conduct in the society, yes, there's this saying that goes, Marade can, when she's in the office, she's somebody else. Mm-hmm. And when she comes at home, she's now a wife, she's somebody else. Is there a distinction that can be made in terms of this? How to separate, you know, I don't know, marriage, affairs, and for some reason in the society it is put as one. But then how can you separate marriage affairs and the official affairs in terms of the work as women go into the society?
Wow.
Yes.
This is serious. Okay, on that, mainly on women in the leadership positions, yeah? So you find that a woman in the office, maybe you are the executive director and you have the powers, you have everything, you're commanding everyone in the, you know, but it's not good to command in the office, you know? Mm-hmm. Be subordinates, be, you know, like colleagues, they're your colleagues,
servant.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And be a servant leader, and where, you know, you open up to your staff, yeah, or, and your, so that your staffs can also open up. You know, you, if you're in that space, definitely your work can go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then if you're that type of leader that you have two different faces, then when you reach home, you know, this is where things may end up getting at loggerheads in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to come home and continue with your authoritative kind of behavior in the house. And, you know, a house, you know, where you're having your husband, your children, your mother-in-law maybe, and all that. And then, hey, anadir kita mulana de malu 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 shuru zaman kida, yeah?
Mm-hmm. The authority stops.
The authority stops in the office with your position.
Yes.
Now you come back home as a wife, as a partner. You know, you don't give authority to your partner. You work together. You talk in a calm voice, because someone is also giving maybe authority to someone else out there.
Mm-hmm.
So what if the two, you know, like if two authoritative people come together, what happens?
There's a clash.
Obviously. There's a clash. Mm-hmm. So if at all you come home, you have your calm. Then he comes home. There is a calm. Then you have a peaceful house.
Okay, and so yes. Peace building even starts.
Peace building starts from home.
There's another one that I want to throw at a deng as we are approaching the end of the conversation. I came across a fellow journalist who said that there's one time she requested for one of the leaders to come and speak on a crucial topic that was happening. And this particular leader accepted. And then later on, she's like, I'm sorry, I cannot come because my husband told me not to come. My husband did not give me permission. Can you briefly speak on that in just 2 minutes?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what to say because I'm not married yet, but I can say that what is the reason why he did not give the permission? Because we don't know. We don't know what is the reason.
Can I come
Maybe
in?
There is...
Okay, so let's allow Nancy now to come in, the married wife.
All right. You know, there is this thing. Once you're marrying a woman whom you know that this is an alpha woman, a woman of leadership, a woman that is outspoken, a woman that knows to wants to change things, then don't marry her if you want to cut off those things that is meant for her. So if at all it is meant, if you want a woman that is a yes woman, or who will not try and tell you, you know what, no, my dear husband, this is not how we are. So, you know, I'm going for this interview because it is something for the country. This is a woman leader. She is not just a, you know, she's a woman out there, you know, a leader for the country. So it is not, the husband shouldn't cut her wings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good husband would even put more wings, you know, like shred off some of
champion
his,
her.
You know, to sharp her, you know, like make her even a better leader.
Mm-hmm.
This is what partnership is.
Thank you for stating that. All right. And I think it's very, very clear. As we're concluding now, we don't have any questions. And so as we're concluding now, I want you to share, what do you aspire for South Sudan, a minute each, and how do you hope to achieve it? How can you, as you give your message, what are those things you want to see happen for South Sudan in the next few years, maybe 5 or 10?
I want to see a South Sudan where women are safe, educated, and economically empowered. Ma shikila ganana indu gurushta in some areas where you find going to a place where I was giving some financial support to some women, and then the woman was like, Diana bikutu wen, itaru furajil taibira shilura gurushte wira shtakalbo. Any money that they get, they are taken. It's taken away from them. So I want that where, you know, women are economically empowered, they know their rights and all that, that they can do anything and it belongs to them and it should not be taken away from them.
Okay.
Thank you,
Nancy. Adeng.
I actually aspire to see South Sudan to be peaceful, democratic, and a just South Sudan, a country where women can lead without any fear. I also want to see a country where girls can go to school and we support each other. I believe that if me, Nancy, and you, Lucy, we start with one girl, we send her to school, I believe that we can be able to generate a very educated girls in South Sudan, a woman who can lead. Let's start this initiative. I started with three girls this year, put them in a school. By the way, school fees are not expensive. You start there, take two, three. Those you don't know, even they're not from your tribe, but you know that they are good to go to school. So let's help each other and build a community where we'll have girls who are educated, peace, in a peaceful society, peaceful family, and let's try and build South Sudan, and let's try and campaign for Nancy to be the next president and we see a South Sudan that we know. So thank you.
Thank you, Adeng. Thank you, Nancy, for coming and having this conversation. I do hope we can speak more again on the issues of women in the country. Otherwise, do have a good day. We've come to the end of Democracy in Action. Take care. And bye-bye. We have the news in Arabic coming up next.
أنتم تستمعون إلى راديو ميرايا صوت السلام.